If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's 99.1 PLR. This is John. And today I'm speaking with Fiona Farine. She is the president and co-founder of For Cameron. It's a nonprofit organization changing the conversation about addiction and doing a lot of great work in Connecticut, specifically in the city of New Haven. And Fiona, thank you for being here, first of all.
Thank you for having me, Jonathan.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh my gosh, you sound like my mother. You got to call me John. I feel like I'm in trouble.
I'll say John.
I don't even think PLR listeners know that I was a full Jonathan. That's right.
We're off to a good start.
So I'm someone who, you know, has known many people who have gone through addiction struggles, and I'm also a father. And this is never an easy thing to talk about. I'm sure you never want it to be an easy thing to talk about. But, you know, the first thing I got to ask is tell me about For Cameron. Tell me about how and why you started that organization.
Sure. So our son Cameron struggled with opioid use disorder that started at a very young age because he was prescribed OxyContin for a knee injury, a football injury, and that did some lasting damage to his brain. So it was a struggle. And then he went through a long period of recovery. He was really, really engaged in his recovery. And then something happened. He became very anxious. His depression reared up, and he took a pill from somebody that he knew. He thought he was taking an OxyContin, and instead it was unadulterated fentanyl, but stamped to look like a prescription pill, and it killed him instantly in the bedroom of our home. So when that happened, two things happened. We instantly realized that we thought we were pretty well-versed in addiction and in the opioid crisis. And at that point, this was 2018, we had never heard of fake prescription pills that were going around. And we realized that if this had happened to us, this could happen to any family or any person at any time. So we're very private, I particularly am very reticent, but we felt we had a moral duty to speak up and to warn other people that this could happen to them. So that was number one. Number two, the stigma that Cameron dealt with in his life as somebody with substance use disorder, and what we dealt with once Cameron died due to the way he lost his life, really, really cemented that decision that we needed to do something about this, because the stigma is actually making the whole opioid use epidemic so much worse because people don't understand it and they're treating it as a poor choice. So we formed For Cameron the year after he lost his life so that we can work with legislators and try to get some legislation through, and so that we can give back to our community in ways that help with trauma and things that can be part of the cycle, and specifically try to talk to people about stigma and how dangerous it is. And I was very pleased that you mentioned talking to your, you know, having children.
Yeah.
Parents, we really want to get to parents to educate them and have them have these conversations with their children, because young people trust prescription medicine. Young people have grown up in a cycle.
Young people and adults, really, we've all been kind of conditioned that this is what we're, you know, that this is what we do. We go to the doctor, we take the pill, and if the doctor gave us the pill, it's going to be totally fine. And now we see the Purdue Pharma ruling earlier this year, and we know, of course, that's not true.
Yes. You know what? You actually just really brought this all home. So first of all, the Purdue Pharma, that started this crisis in our state, right? That's why Connecticut became the epicenter, because of the amount of opioids that landed on our streets.
Absolutely.
But we also all trust prescription medicine because all we've seen is advertisements around it. So when that, when there was that market of opportunity, and then they started stamping fake pills, there was no, we were all caught off guard. None of us knew about this. So that's really dangerous. Like, that's really dangerous. I know people whose child died from taking what they thought was an ADHD, you know, a Ritalin that was stamped, or a mild anxiety medicine that was actually unadulterated fentanyl. So that's something that really people need to educate themselves on in the state. If it was not prescribed to you, don't take it. If it was not directly prescribed for you, don't take it.
Absolutely. So, I mean, let's go back to stigma and breaking the cycle of stigma. And not even just, you know, for those who, you know, I think people will hear your story and think, okay, well, you know, this was a young man who had a physical injury. And of course, we've seen the Purdue Pharma, you know, situation. And obviously there was misuse there, and that is terrible. But there's also these other people. There's these other people who just make bad personal choices. And those other people really need to, you know, pull themselves up by their bootstrap. And it's not really, I don't hear you making that distinction at all, by the way. And I don't think people should. So how do we break that cycle of stigma, you know, not only for people who were victims of this, you know, aggressive marketing by this company with nefarious intent, but also for people who grew up with mental health struggles and have, you know, come upon their addictions through that as well?
Excellent question, because it is the full spectrum.
Right.
So this is what I like to say to people. You know, the person could make that poor choice the first time, maybe even the second time. Nobody actually wants to have substance use disorder. Nobody wants to be an alcoholic. Nobody wants to be living OxyContin to OxyContin or heroin to, nobody wants any of those things. And it is an illness that very quickly alters the brain chemistry. So what I like to say to people is, when we know somebody who's diagnosed with cancer, we don't, as good people, we don't think, oh, well, you know, they used to smoke, or, you know, well, they haven't exercised. We think, oh, no, you have cancer. That's a medical illness. How can we be supportive as you try to work your way back to health? Yeah. But unfortunately, that same thinking does not apply to substance use disorder, and people are still thinking of it as a very bad choice. And that's the stigma right there. And so what happens is, and I've seen this in real time again and again, people who have substance use disorder who maybe do want to try to engage with recovery, they do want to recover and get better. And recovery is possible, all right? It's very important that we make sure that we're also a voice of hope. Recovery is possible, whether it's a mental health issue, whether it's substance use, recovery is possible. But unfortunately, because of the heavy stigma, just due to our lack of knowledge around this issue, many people carry this shame, and that's a huge barrier to engaging in recovery. The shame really holds people back.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you talk to me about, you know, talk to me about the importance of Narcan, which is now available in Connecticut pharmacies. And, you know, New Haven, I know, has talked about even, you know, setting up vending machines where it'll be available. But talk to me about the importance of Narcan, not only at your local pharmacy, but also in the home.
Yes. All right. So you brought up one of my favorite subjects.
Yes. Yeah, it's actually in my I work on one of the other stations sometimes, and I've done multiple news stories about it too. It's something that's close to my heart as well. I'm sorry, continue though.
So this is what I like to say. So there is a tendency, especially when it comes to our children, right? We want to think this could not happen to us. This could not happen to us. So there's that tendency to think, I'm not going to need that. But actually, we never know, right? It could not be your child. Your child could have one of their friends over, and that child could take something. You know, children do experiment, right? They do. I mean, it's part of the growth cycle. Or it could be one of your friends over. I mean, we know that people in the workplace who look perfectly functional are sometimes misusing opioids. So what I like to say is, think of it as a tool in your first aid kit that you want to never use. I take CPR training. I hope to never have to use CPR training on anyone that I know. But if there is an emergency, I want to be able to step in and have know what to do to save that person's life. Narcan should be no different. Every home should have Narcan on them. I carry it in my pocketbook at all times. So heaven forbid I'm out in a restaurant and there's an incident in the bathroom or somebody needs it, I have it. I hope to not have to use it. But you know what? If something happens, we want to save that person's life so that they have a chance to address what's going on. We can't save lives if the people aren't alive, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely it does. And by the way, if you're listening to this right now and you're, you know, like sitting there thinking like, oh, well, I haven't taken CPR training and I don't have any. I wouldn't know how to use Narcan. You take the thing, you put it in the person's nose, you squeeze. That's all
That's
you
right.
do. And you cannot overdose. You cannot overdose them
That's
on
right.
it. You cannot harm them. And it's a completely benign thing that you can do at any point. And Fiona, thank you for saying that you carry it around in your pocketbook. Carry it around. Put it in your car. You know, put it in your glove compartment. Something
put
like
it
that.
Put it in your car.
Yeah.
And you know, thank you for being so well-versed on it, because I did bring up CPR as an example, but there's no correlation. You don't have to do CPR in somebody.
Well, no, I mean, it was a relevant example. I 100% right. get where you were bringing it up, but it's just, this is not, you don't need to, if you can put on a Band-Aid, you can give someone Narcan, 1,000%.
That's the best way to put it. And you know, another really important point you brought home is, It doesn't do any harm. So if you suspect, if somebody doesn't look right, if they pass out and you're not sure, just take that little Narcan, put it in the person's nose, just press the plunger, step back, call 911. You won't have done any harm to the person at all. I've had harm reductionists Narcan themselves, you know, when we're doing education. I've had them Narcan themselves just to prove that if you haven't taken anything, it's innocuous. It's not going to do anything in any way. And it's saving lives in real time.
Yeah. Yeah. In real time. And that's well said. That's well said. Well, listen, Fiona, you know, as we wrap up here, just tell me about the work that you're doing with the city of New Haven, that Fort Cameron is doing with the city of New Haven to, you know, help expand addiction services to people, you know, in the city, but also statewide.
Sure. So the city and also other towns have been such incredible partners. So the work we are doing is, first of all, we worked with the New Haven Police Department and the Board of Alders in New Haven for 3 years, and we got the New Haven Police to carry Narcan as first responders. They weren't carrying it. It was sort of in their, not that they were adverse, it was in their union bargaining. So now the police officers, we provided them with special tactical pouches that they can clip onto their vests. And all of them are, you know, they're voluntarily carrying Narcan, so they can use that if they are first on the scene. So that's number one. That for us was huge. Number two, we go into any school or college that will have us, and free of charge, we speak to the students about how to stay safe in this current drug landscape. We don't lecture them. We don't say, you know, just say no. We tell them what the risks are and how to avoid those risks. We work a lot with harm reduction and trying to, you know, support all harm reduction efforts and partners who are having events that would help get people into recovery, or just at least let them know that the door is always open. We also do scholarships at Gateway Community College for people who are in the, they want to become a recovery counselor. So we provide scholarships in that to try to help more people follow that path of education, right? Because we need all the resources we can.
Oh,
so that's sort of a snapshot of the things that we're working on.
Absolutely. Well, listen, Fiona, thank you so much for talking to me. Stay on the line for a minute after we're done with this. But, you know, if you want to find out more about For Cameron, you can go to For Cameron, F-O-R, Cameron, C-A-M-E-R-O-N.com. And you can find out more then. Fiona Farine, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday, good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Four seasons, greetings.